listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Full Power Living is helping the world to know and understand the power and importance of human emotions. You know, because I view our Earth as a giant school, I've long shared with my audiences and my psychotherapy clients that we get what I call our homework assignments in our childhood. And by design, we then work on these homework assignments for the rest of our lives or until we get them. Today on Full Power Living, I'm talking with Jasmina Arillo-Scher, who received very challenging homework assignments, yet she has completed many of them in ways that has brought her amazing experience, resilience, empowerment, and spiritual evolution, all of which we're exploring today. So whether you're listening over Blog Talk Radio or EmotionalPro.com, join our chat with your questions and comments. So who is Jasmina Scher? She's a spiritual pilgrim, a yogic mystic, a heart math licensed coach, and a light energy healer. She's got more than 25 years of experience inspiring people the world over on how to access and use the power of their heart to impact consciousness, health, performance, creativity, and relationships. Having had a really clear connection to Source beginning in childhood, Jasmina has continued to walk a path between both this world and the unseen world of spirit. And she had a near-death experience while fighting a brain tumor, which actually intensified her ability to live and intersect with both planes. And by surrendering to the guidance, she's found the strength to carry on and rise from adversity to a place of incredible wholeness. She's the author of the Amazon bestseller, Mirror of My Soul, Sanctum of My Heart, which is a spiritual odyssey that goes beyond the near-death experience to living from the intuitive heart connection. Jasmina Scher, welcome to Full Power Living.
Thank you so much, Eileen. I'm looking forward to sharing my journey, inspiring the hearts of all the listeners.
That I know you're good at. So, you know, we've all got personal issues, but we're different in how we look at them, the will we have to work with them, our willingness to address them, the help we receive, our intention, all those things that get in the way of us getting on our life path. And you paint the picture of your generational legacy, your Italian heritage, in the first part of your book. And I want to just ask you, could you name three homework assignments that I was talking about, that were pivotal in your life?
Yes. Oh, wonderful question. The first homework assignment for me as a soul in my life is I have the contrast of the chaos of my childhood took me in to find solace and comfort in my own spiritual connection. And it is my experience that we all have this connection. That is one that has been a gift for me in my life. The second homework assignment was to awaken a strength in me. Now, I have this strength already, but it needed to be to be even stronger, to empower myself. So these are lessons. So I have self-worth lessons that I'm learning. And the other homework assignment was to awaken my passion for well-being. Now, again, contrast will create that. By the time I was 10 years old, I was angry. And I realized my mother being undiagnosed bipolar. This is back in the mid-60s. I knew I had to get away from my family, and I needed money to do that. So I made a pact with myself that I'm going to do exactly that. When I'm 18, I'm going to have whatever money I can save throughout up until then, so that I had control over my own life. And I did do that.
Wow.
So. Yeah.
Well, you know, as a therapist, I've been a therapist for 43 years, and I've had the opportunity to work with people where they're painful early life situations are similar in terms of the depth. My observation is that it's not an easy thing to do. Even when you're connected to source, you're still in a human body. You're still a kid. And so I want you to talk a little bit more about that connection to source. How did you get to source when you were in a child?
I was 7 years old. And I back then, the mothers on our street, I grew up in Boston in a really crowded neighborhood. So they would put us to bed at like 6:30 just to get a break. So I would lay in bed really bored. I had my brother and sister, we shared the same room for a while. And I asked the question, what would it be like if I never lived again? Because I was bored and I had to keep my, we were supposed to be asleep, so my eyes are closed, and it was a game to me. And what happened when I asked that question, everything became silent and deep and dark, and I went out in space. And I started leaving my body. It was a game that I played, and I could actually hear, I could travel in my consciousness and hear my parents talking in the other end of the house, and I couldn't possibly do that because, I mean, my consciousness was there. It scared me a little bit, but it never went away, and then I could hear, and I heard singing. So I was actually, my consciousness was what I call in the multidimensional reality. It was a comfort to me. I felt these beings around me, buffering me.
Wow.
I trusted that.
Well, you know, it strikes me, I've been very close to a child whose parent had undiagnosed bipolar also, and it strikes me from what I know from that it probably was less scary to go out into space in your mind at times than it was to live with within your own family.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah.
It created a split in my psyche that has been one of the tasks in my life to heal that. And so the task has been to connect with what I call the heavenly reality and bring that into my life, into my thoughts, my emotions, how I live it at the most practical level. I'm getting the goosebumps as you say this, like this is my somatic experience, my body. That's what I'm doing.
Wow. I
continue to do it.
Well, I wanted to ask you about it because I think that's a big part of what we're all trying to do is to connect the person we are here in the world with the soul we are, and we tend to lose track of it. I've been in recent years really focusing on how can we help people to stay in contact with that soul self in their childhood. So I want to just ask you what your primary purpose in writing your book. You've written an autobiographical book. It's full of incredible synchronicity and adventures and learning. It's just every chapter there's a new going, oh my gosh, really? Sort of thing. What motivated you to write it?
Well, you know, in the prologue there, when I had the synchronicity, I was in Australia, in a mountain village called Colliston outside of Melbourne, and I walk in the store, and there's only several of us in the store, and I feel someone's energy touching my body. I mean, I could feel that, and I turn around, and basically it was an intuitive woman who she just blew me away. She knew where I had been, and she said she told me that Spirit has a message for you because you really need to get this, that your story is to bring hope to people, and there are many people living without hope in the world, so you need to bring this out in a broader way than you have. So that's basically, that's it. The hope frequency is very powerful. It's one of the resilience frequencies within of the positive emotions or the spiritual emotions. And that's what I seem to be getting back from people that are reading the book. And a most recent one, a woman recovering from stage 4 cancer, breast cancer, she is in L.A., and a friend of mine brought her situation to my attention. She read the book, and she said she had an out-of-body healing experience. And so
wow.
I was so compelled by this that I felt I have to meet her, and it was the most beautiful meeting, very, very sweet.
Wow.
And
wow.
she had a difficult childhood, like, similar to me, so,
yes.
yeah.
Well, I had a very difficult childhood, too. Loss of my birth mother by the age of less than three, and boarding
yeah.
schools, and a military father removed from pillar to post, so forth. And as I have worked with myself, I realized that a lot of it was lessons that I could learn, but also I needed the strength, like you were talking about earlier, and those things do make you stronger. Now, one of the things that I have learned to do, and I saw in your book, Mirror of My Soul, Sanctum of My Heart, was how fast you embrace change. When you recognize, for example, that substance abuse or alcohol was not a good thing in your life, you were able to make the decision and make a change right away. And I want to know, I want all of us to hear, what helped you to be that decisive?
Well, one thing, it's a process. And as I mentioned, I get help by my spirit connection to wake me up in an extraordinary way sometimes, because I think I don't get it right away. My personality, I'm an earth sign astrologically, and
uh-huh.
I don't always want to move.
Uh-huh.
I seem to need something, some stimulation. My passion for well-being needs to be woken up enough to do that. But so I can't say that it was fast. Because it really took me 10 years from the age of 19 when I had that spirit meeting in my room to entirely to really give up the alcohol and the marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And once I did, I was good at that. But I can't really say it happened, but what I will say is I would take a step.
Uh-huh.
And I would take one step. And then I would recalibrate and say, recover from the step, because, you know, there's some backwash to that, you know, when you make a change in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would go in, back in and recalibrate and say, well, okay, now what do I do? So it was really a very step-by-step process for me.
Mm-hmm.
So it would appear that it happened overnight, but it really didn't. The same thing when I left my marriage
mm-hmm.
as well. I think it was a long time in coming, and it's like I had a flash of light experience that after years of pondering this, I mean, really a long time, and doing the best I could to save this marriage, I knew overnight, like in a flash of intuition, so intuition is key for me, mm-hmm. that you stay in this marriage, you're gonna shorten your life. It's never going to get any better. So,
mm-hmm.
and spiritual growth awaits you, so when I made that decision, spirit rushed in to help me and support me in my life.
Mm-hmm. Well, now that ties in with asking for help. Years
yeah.
ago, I've been terrible at asking for help in my life, and I dated this man who was writing, and he would tell me when I talked to him on the phone almost daily, oh, I talked with my guides this morning and they helped me with this and that and the other. And finally one day I said to him, are you telling me you're talking to people you can't see and asking them for help? And he said, yes. And I said, well,
yeah.
I can't even ask people I can see for help. <You know>?
I like that you mentioned that, Eileen, because that's one of my life lessons.
Uh-huh. Tell me more.
as connected as I am, this is my take on this. We at core have a deep sense of unworthiness. We feel our separation from source. We want to get back there.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a sense of our wholeness, and our humanness, of course, is imperfect. So we don't like to be reminded of our imperfections.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to disguise that. We want people to know about that because of this deep sense of unworthiness that we have at our core.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Go ahead. You would say something.
No, I'm trying to put this together in my own head here. So then we don't ask for help because that allows us to, or that causes us to have to look at these uncomfortable areas. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because it makes us feel like, gee, we should know everything. Mm-hmm. The ego doesn't like that. The ego mind doesn't like that because it's in survival mechanism. It wants, it doesn't want to be reminded of its imperfections
mm-hmm.
as a part of our aspect of our being, because we have that as deep core, this sense of unworthiness.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, what I have found throughout my life, and I continue to grow in this, is that, and this blew me away, that we are co-creators of the universe
mm-hmm.
Through Source, and that it needs our love and attention and asking and awareness as much as we need it. And so that, you know, for me, coming through my life with, dealing with self-worth issues, that just blows me away. I'm like, me? Really? However, our imperfections are what draw the spirit connection, which is really cool, even though we don't like to think that, to see that.
Tell me more about that. You just, what? I'm having a what? Our imperfections draw Source?
Yes.
How does that work?
When within our imperfections is the path, is the opening to spirit to come in and fill us.
Uh-huh.
So without the heart having to be cracked, it needs to be cracked open for the light.
Okay, so then that brings me another thing. It's about the strength that a soul or an entity may have in the first place. Is it possible that the intense negativity of our childhood experiences may be relevant to the strength of our, or the stubbornness of our soul?
Yes.
Aha. Aha.
So therein lies the passion for well-being.
Keep going.
Okay.
Don't stop there.
So, because sometimes I it's like the part of me will go, I never want to get angry at anything.
Uh-huh.
I want everything to be okay. I want to be, and I just, everything wanted to be soft and gentle. And however, that's a great, this passion for well-being, this anger, look what Martin Luther King Jr. did with that anger. Look what Mother Teresa did with that anger. What we can do with that anger, because when it turns, what spirit does, it moves in. It transforms that anger into a tremendous amount of energy that we have access to in our life for whatever we want to use it for.
Mm-hmm. Now, I work with emotions a lot, and my learning is that anger transforms into enthusiasm. So.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Yes. That's and I have my lower personality. Like, I just really like to. I mean, I'm perfectly comfortable in my beautiful view in my backyard, my chocolate, my cup of tea, and a good book. I love that.
Uh-huh. Well, we did come to the earth to be human, so I like
that's
that.
That's right. Yeah.
Right.
So I like to do that too, and it's about finding balance as well.
Yeah.
And the whole one of my is to, with all my passion, we cannot save the world, but we can save our moment at least.
Right. So a while ago you mentioned intuition, and it's been my learning that all of us, our intuition has been increasing in the last, say, 10 to 20 years, especially. And so part of my question as I was thinking about what you've written is, are we all able to connect with intuition as you did, even if our ability to capture it isn't maybe as strong as yours, but can we all connect with our intuition?
Oh, absolutely. This is what I do, what I share with others. I have some very simple steps that we can, tools that we can do to begin, to consciously begin that process. It is related to the heart, and there's scientific research behind it, particularly from the Institute of Heart Math. And it's really quite, we all have this connection. It's just that we need to still the mind, the endless processing of the mind, which puts us into fight or flight very quickly, even with a slightly judgmental thought about someone or something, creates havoc in the nervous system. And so I work with folks, and I use the heart math technology. You can see in real time when you're in fight or flight, but you can also see when you're in balance. So that helps in the experience of recognizing, seeing, oh, yes, this is happening in my body, and my mind's thinking this thought and this emotion. So it's really fun adventure to partner up with our intuitive intelligence. Yes.
And so because I know that you do mini guidance sessions, is that what you, where somebody could get hold of that or can work with that?
Oh, yes. You can go on my website.
Mm-hmm.
Those mini sessions are very popular for people to sort of get their feet wet in their source connection and how that can bring healing to you and intuitive guidance. And I also do light transference. I go into a meditative state that while I'm awake and I'm channeling a light frequencies through me. So I do that at distance. I can do that hands-on as well. And I also have special programs on my website. That's a more longer-term commitment, but certainly the mini guidance session is a great way to get started. And I have a coupon for folks running through the end of June. I'd like to do that.
And so the next step on that is for you to say what your website is so people will have it.
Sure. Jasmina Agrillo Share. I'll spell that out. Jasmina Agrillo, AGRILLO, Share, SCHERR.com, Jasmina Agrillo Share.com.
All right, good. So there's all of that available. You know, we're up to our first break, Jasmina. When we come back, we can explore your experiences in India and the 15 years of spiritual study that you did going there. All right, so you're listening to Full Power Living, and we will be right back.
Eileen Dillon is a certified senior life mentor with Accessing Universal Intelligence. She's available to conduct mentoring sessions with you to help you understand, change, and evolve using the advice of your own higher self. You can be anywhere in the world. Sessions are conducted through Skype. For more information about these life mentoring sessions, fees, and how to register, go to www.emotionalpro.com and click on the mentoring link at the top. Get personally tailored assistance with your toughest life questions. Visit mentoring@emotionalpro.com today.
All right, welcome back to Full Power Living. I have a few announcements. Next week, I'm talking with consciousness researchers Dr. Elizabeth Carman and Dr. Neil Carman about the spiritual dimensions of life before birth. They have research results, stories, and information about communicating with children prior to birth that I know you won't want to miss. So listen next Thursday, June 11th at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern Time, for my conversation with the doctors Elizabeth and Neil Carman. And I also would like you to register at emotionalpro.com so we can send you our twice-weekly newsletter and keep you up to date on the shows and topics that we have here for you on Full Power Living. While you're there, click on the CCFL Global Academy logo on the landing page, and you can find out firsthand about the services and information available for you, you as a parent, your children, and your family. This is a membership site where for less than $1 a day, you can get the information, support, and understanding to help you and your family navigate the challenges of today's world. I'm an expert there on emotional mastery and ending codependence, so I'd love to meet with you there. You're invited to come build community with us, shaping the world's future by the way we prepare our children for adult living. So go to emotionalpro.com. And my guest today is Jasmina Agrillo-Scher, who's author of Mirror of My Soul, Sanctum of My Heart. And we're talking about so many things that are in this book that are written to offer all of us hope. So, Jasmina, before the break, I mentioned that I wanted to talk to you some about, if we could use the segue, you asked for help, you wanted to learn more, and you got that help when you connected with Sri Anandi Ma, and she was able to mother you. So, and you also got help when you connected with Heart Math, which we'll talk about later. But talk to me about the experience you had in connecting with Anandi Ma and what that did for you.
I knew in my heart that I didn't bond with my birth mother. I couldn't. And there's a part of me that needed to grow in my feminine power and be comfortable in that. And Anandi Ma was really, she just was an amazing person in my life. I think she saw that in me. And she said to me at one point as I was getting, I wanted to be close with her, she says, I give you permission to be close to me as much as you want to be. And so I became like the little girl I always wanted to be with my mother and be safe in that love. So she totally, it was pivotal for me to heal the mother wounds in my soul. I observed, it's like I became her little girl, her baby. And I'm so grateful. It also helped me become able to mother my own son. Mm-hmm. So I had him at a later date. I was 39 when I gave birth to him.
Wow.
And I would observe her and the Indian women. They know how to nurture a soul, a new soul. I learned so much from them.
That's really lovely. One of the things you mention in the book, which is important to me because for years now I've lived with a person who worries big time. You talked about a dream in which you talked to Anandima's, I'm going to get
Anandima.
It right here,
yeah.
Anandima's own teacher, Guruji, and he said, worrying about your mother is holding you back in your spiritual evolution. Give her to me. God and I are taking care of her. And it really struck me, if we all could take our worries and allow God to take care of them, we'd be in a much better place, wouldn't we?
Yes. And you know what? That's an ongoing daily practice for me. And, yes, it has to be an ongoing thing. It has to become a habit. It takes a while to do our habits. I mean, it's to live from the heart. It's really an infinite growth, and so it's a process. So I'm still. It's like every day, I get to think. You know, when I go sit down and I meditate, it's like, okay, I relax and cast aside all mental burdens, allowing God's wisdom, love to flow through me. Take care of me. Whatever words, you know, in our own language, it's something I consciously do.
You remind me, years ago, my marriage, my first marriage broke up, and I had an infant daughter, and I started getting obscene phone calls late at night. I was in a new home, and I got really scared, and I would just lie at night and, you know, catch my breath and be unable to breathe. I finally got angry with God and got up and said, listen, I don't want to die in the first place, but I sure don't want to die a violent death, and I don't want my daughter to die a violent death. So, you know, please protect me. And furthermore, I'm not going to keep checking in with you about it. I'm turning it over to you.
How did you, how did you feel after that?
I felt really good. I went right to sleep.
You know, it's like you got real with God. You got real with the, and we have to be real.
Right. Well, you talk about that in your book, that you can just have that kind of conversation with God. You don't have to, you know, I've been around someone who's quite ill, and they were going through a place of not feeling good about who they were, and I suggested you might want to talk to God about this or turn this over to God. And the response was, well, I'm such a small person, I can't imagine that God wants to bother with me. You know, and so we have to expect that. Well, now tie this together. My brain is going crazy here. Tie it together, because you said we're co-creators. So tie God taking me into account as a small person and co-creating. Can you tie those together for us? How does that work?
Invite God in.
Ah.
That's all. Invite it.
Oh, that's too simple.
Kind of like but see, but it is simple. It's only our mind that makes it complicated. It's just like a little, like a baby crying for its mother, wanting to be fed.
Yes. Well, I.
And the only thing is, we haven't done it enough. It's like when you leave a baby to cry, it thinks no one's coming anymore. And so that's what we're healing. So we just have to open it up and peep in there. Just take a peek in the heart and say, hey. Come
that's
on
really
in.
That's really great.
Yeah.
So I want to talk with you a little bit about some of the mystical experiences you had. And I want to start with a story. I have a son who's 37 now. And he was attending a Catholic school. And at 6, he came home one day and he told me he was not going to believe in Jesus. And when I asked him why, he told me that the only way we know about Jesus is through stories. And we all know that a person could put anything they want to into stories. And so he told me he's not going to believe in Jesus unless he can see him for himself. Right? But you had a similar desire. Can you tell us tell us that story?
Okay. Now think of which one in the book. I had a desire to be a disciple.
Right, that you wanted to encounter Jesus directly, too, just like my son did.
Yeah, I have. I had that desire. And when it went subconscious, but when I met Anandima, the desire, I never thought about it. I mean, when I met her, that memory of being 12 years old, thinking, well, gee, you know, Jesus is not even here. I'm reading about it in the Bible, so what's it like to be a disciple? Like... to be with Jesus. And so I got to experience that. But I also got to experience it at the inner level. And that we simply need to ask.
And so is that, I mean, you've had incredible things. You were led to a spiritual teacher in South America. You were led to Anandima. You were able to, in your trance state at any rate, to bathe Jesus's feet. What an incredible...
Oh my gosh.
tell us about those things. Okay, we ask. I agree, it's simple. But we ask, and then what?
We can't have any expectations on how that unfolds. And that's something... when we ask spirit to manifest, it may manifest in more than one way. So it manifested in a way that I was open to, that I was comfortable with. But it can come through another person. It can come through a message you might pick up. You may read something. When it's spiritual law, this is my experience and the experience of many other folks as well, when you ask, you always get a response. There's always compensation. It's just that our mind can get in the way of that. Either poo-poo it away, say it didn't happen, or not be open to it. But it's always, there's always a response.
Or not ask. In my spiritual studies, I learned a principle that help that isn't asked for never works, which translates to if you don't ask, honey, you don't get the help.
Yes. And, you know, that's part of the empowerment for us. I mean, I grew up in the Catholic faith and as a child, and I had a sense of, oh, it's not okay to ask. But I did anyway. Because I think that's just my nature. I don't know, maybe I have a sort of not rebellious nature, but it's kind of like, hey, you can tell me I can't do something, I'm going to do it.
I don't know, I knew quite a bunch of kids who grew up in the Catholic Church who got a little got a little testy like that. you know, there's another thing you mentioned in your book that I find fascinating because it rang a bell with me. You say, for some souls like myself, we chose to learn through the pathway of negativity.
Yes.
Through the contrast of not having what we desire, we learn what it is we really want. And
yes.
Why some of us, and another part of my question is, if we see our lives going this route, can we change it, or do we have to go through the path of negativity, in your experience?
Eventually it's all joy, living from a state of joy. So the contrast brings that light of joy in. And yes, we can change it. And we can change our path whenever we truly want to. You know, oh, of course, I've done a lot of zigzags. You can probably sense in that, in reading it, I get off course, and then something bizarre happens to me, and I get back on course. So we're allowed to play and roam, and you know. Mess up along the way.
Isn't that part of our co-creation process too? So we're busy, we step in the mud, and that's when we decide we don't like walking in mud. So then we clean our feet off and we pick our path more carefully.
Yes. You know, and when you said mud, I just had to remember the experience I think I mentioned in the book of we had this long trek, this pilgrimage to this temple, and after the monsoons in India.
Oh, right.
And literally the mud was up over my ankles, and I would just have to, like, I remember it was a step by step. I'd get my foot in the mud, and my sandal would get stuck in there, and I'd have to go reach in the mud with my hand and get the sandal out of the. Yeah, it's exactly like that.
Yeah. Oh, yes, that was very descriptive in there. I was my own mind went to, well, so did you keep your sandals, because that would be treacherous. You'd have so many opportunities to lose them. Anyway.
I did. You know, I what happened was by the time we had lunch at someone's house. People were so amazingly generous. And they brought out water to wash our feet.
Mm.
So we all had to get washed up before we got into the house. It was the most beautiful, loving experience.
Oh.
Yes.
So you did. There's a lot of feet washing.
Yes, there. You know, there is.
I like to
think of. But I remember how frustrating it was, because it felt like this. We had a long way to walk in this mud. It was just like, this is never ever going to end. I can't believe I'm doing this. Is it worth where I'm going to have to go through this? What am I getting, like pulling my legs out of this mud? And the mud gets on your clothes too, because it, you know, it splashes and everything.
Wow, what a good sport you were. So before we take our next break, I was fascinated with the story of your being warned about your son Ian being in danger when he was three. Will you tell us that story?
Oh, when we come back?
No, nope, now.
You, oh, right now. Now.
Then when we come back, I'll ask you something else.
Oh, okay. It's just really fun, actually. Okay. It's just like, speaking of my son, he's on a road trip right now. We just left this morning from Maine. He's driving all the way to California. He's sending me pictures, and he's going to be camping. He has his tent. He's stopping at State Park to camp out. So I'm just like, I was just so thrilled for him. He's a resilient guy. Oh, my gosh. So anyway.
Wonder where he gets that.
I think he probably came in because he wanted to learn that, so he picked the right person.
Right.
Anyway, we have such oneness with nature. And when we ask, but when you still your mind, you can with your consciousness enter into whatever you want to experience. Like the ego, you dissolve the boundaries of your ego, that you can go into nature. So I mentioned in the book, our son is skipping ahead of us, a little boy, about maybe 3 years old, two and a half, three. Okay. And he's running ahead, and I'm walking along, and there's this bird above the tree, a crow, and it seems to be following me. And with my consciousness, I shot up to it and said, "What? Why are you following me?" And then this bird communicated to me in a form of a picture, not words. And I saw what he communicated to me. Got to read the book. And in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, I could be imagining this. It's a possibility. I could be. So I was like really cool with it. I just kept walking. I saw the vision up ahead of me, and it was able to prevent my son from possibly falling. Well, I'm not going to say. It saved his life, the vision.
Right.
And I thanked the crow. I think I have a thing for crows in my we have them in our street, and I don't know, I think I saw one the other day. I said, "Hey, how you doing? Anything for me?" "Nope, nope." "Okay, thank you." "Is something you're trying to tell me?" "Nope, nope."
Uh-huh.
Just communicating with another, you know, whatever. So we actually can enter into nature with our consciousness. It's part of the oneness experience. Does that?
Wow. So what do? You just keep yourself open and I'll just tell you this. Years ago, we agreed to take on a cat that had lived in another family. She was already about 10 years old, but someone in the family had become really allergic, and they couldn't keep her anymore. And so she came to our house, and we kept her in a small room for about a week, and then we let her roam the house, and finally we let her go outside, and she took off. And we called the former owner, and I asked her to come and help me find her because I figured she'd come to her voice sooner than mine. And as we were looking, did you explain to this cat why she was coming to a new place to live? And she looked at me helplessly and said, "Well, I do talk to my cats, but not usually in paragraphs."
Oh, ha! Huh. Isn't that? You know what it makes me, because like they feel the energy. So every thought that and spoken word and thought we have has an energy. I think that the animals can interpret that as through the energy of it. That's interesting.
That cat came home, and I got that lady over here again, and I put the two of them in a small room, and I said, "You explain to her why she's here." And she didn't have any problems after that. She lived with us for four or 5 years. Yeah.
Very interesting. I was doing energy healing with a client recently, and I'm at her feet seeing her dog, and I sensed, and so we... After her healing, we talked about that, but I was getting the sense of that the dog wanted her to. The dog needed to know that they're going to find a happy home for her, and so that the dog already knows that she's going to be given away, and she's nervous, and so you need to talk with her.
Oh,
I'm sure she did. But that isn't true. But she said, "Oh yes, the dog lays at my feet. So when I was at her feet, I got the dog." It's very interesting.
Oh, of course, the energy. Yes. All right. Well, I want to have you tell us more about all the different things. You've mentioned a couple of them, but what are all the different things and how people can get involved with you when we come back after this break? All right.
Okay. Sure. Let's do that. Thank you.
Talking today with spiritual pilgrim, yogi mystic, heart math licensed coach, and light energy healer, Jasmina Agrillo-Scher, about her amazing resilience in the face of a challenging and amazing childhood in life. We'll be right back here on Full Power Living. You know that emotionally, children form the foundation for their life during their first 7 years? Most adults just repeat that early emotional learning, good or bad, over and over for the rest of their lives. If you want to give your child an opportunity to live an emotionally masterful life, then join me, Eileen Dillon, also known as the Emotional Pro, for a free one-hour teleseminar on what it takes for your child to become an emotional master. You'll discover important things like what emotions are designed to do for us, 4 things it's vital for parents to tell their children about emotions, and the single most important thing to do when someone is feeling emotion. Register now at RaiseIncredibleKids.com. The time has come for us to allow emotions their rightful place in our lives, as the tools and helpers they're created to be. Find out what you need to know in order to give this vital information to your children so they can live emotionally masterful lives. Go now to RaiseIncredibleKids.com for your free emotional mastery teleseminar. All right, welcome back. Mirror of My Soul, Sanctum of My Heart is the title of her book. Jasmina Scher is the author, and we're talking about her incredible experiences, spiritual adventures, transcendent experience, all the things that she learned. And, you know, she wants to help people to find their path to peace, joy, health, and spiritual connection, largely, Jasmina, because of your own personal upheaval and illness and stressful conditions. And before we get into you talking about how you actually help people, I think we need to talk about this other incredible challenge, which is that you got a very large brain tumor, a bilateral meningioma, in your adulthood, and tell us the story of that, because you're able to return yourself to full functioning. It's amazing.
Yes. My brain tumor, I went undiagnosed for about a year after I was having really intense symptoms, and the medical community was not able to follow through on my wanting to even to have a CAT scan for this brain tumor. I had a sense something terribly was wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
So that sometimes happens. That was a whole forgiveness process that I went to around that. But the brain tumor, the experience of that opened me at a whole new level of becoming love, becoming compassion, accessing a greater field of intuitional awareness and connection to spirit. So it became for me an enlightening experience, a liberating experience. It did entail great suffering, and I'm not going to minimize that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, which seems to come be repeated throughout my book, I always call upon spirit, and I got real. At one point, I did have a near-death experience. The light did stay with me for months, but I would have conversations like I was seeing my future, the work I'd be doing today. I would have a conversation with God. It would go something like this, like, okay, you want me to be doing all this work. Give me my brain back. I want it all back. Give it back to me. Mm. And so I, that experience of the brain tumor opened my intuition, as I mentioned. I could see inside my body. I could actually see my physical heart light up, this stream of light going up from my heart into my brain when I felt good.
Ah.
For instance, feeling. I saw that. And I later found out when I began studying with using the HeartMath Institute techniques, I developed a case study of myself with to give to Roland, Dr. Roland McCrady. He's the scientific researcher. But he said that is how the heart communicates to the brain. It actually, through the afferent nerves, it when you feel positive emotion, it flows up, it stimulates the autonomic nervous system, it goes right directly into the brain. So that was, that felt great too. I said, what I'm experiencing is, you know, it is actually really happening. And so I was learning, likewise, when I had stress, when I was, I would get depressed sometimes because my family was struggling financially because of my illness. And my former husband was developing, I could see a whole lot of trauma around this. So I felt helpless at times, but that could cause me to have a seizure. So I was learning at a very basic level, like living inside my body and seeing what my thoughts and emotions were doing. So I was at that point, I hadn't studied yet with HeartMath, and so I was learning, I was understanding the process. So I was trying to bring in feeling good and gratitude. So I was actually starting to work with that. But when I met them, their tools helped me in a very simple step-by-step process gain even more control over my autonomic nervous system and the healing process. So I was able to get off all the seizure meds, the pain meds, start working on the short-term memory and getting more control, you know, understanding my emotions and being able to bring them into, you know, positive emotion for healing and even for trauma release as well. So I was learning at a basic level how to really bring the light in through the trauma and actually essentially take it away to repattern it as well. So
my husband is a retired neurosurgeon, and I have had the opportunity to see him do brain surgery, and I know he's told me that you know, what I know is that when you have a meningioma on your frontal lobe, that's a potential of taking a lot of your life, your physical abilities and your cognitive abilities away from you. And you have not experienced, or you weren't left with that, is the way I would say it.
That's correct. And it's something
amazing.
I do want to mention. I mentioned with will is a frequency, and I had enough of that will because I could still connect with make the spiritual connection, so that we have the physical brain, we have an electrical brain, and so it's kind of like the explain this. If you're missing a limb, the limb and the energetic template still exists for that limb.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the brain. I knew that. So I would affirm my wholeness. I would get in the connect with spirit and affirm the wholeness because that template still exists. So what I was seeking to do and I was able to do over time was I would get into that spiritual frequency that is connected to that what we call holographic energetic template of the wholeness of my neural connections even. And so I learned, it was the most basic training. I was really learning to be in that spiritual space every minute of my day. That was my training in early recovery. I really worked at it. I really did. Heart resonance, through heart resonance. That's important.
Yes.
I know.
So literally what you're saying, or at least the picture I had is, I know it's love energy, universal energy coming through, but literally your heart healed your brain.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Because of its connection to the multidimensional miracle frequencies or spirit or whatever you want to call that. the cosmos.
Uh-huh.
And it is so, it's an amazing, we have this ability. We really do. We can start partnering up with it and really bring in, create miracles. Whenever we change to love, that's a miracle anyway. But what was the big thing for me in my an acute recovery that I learned right away, that's a basic function of my heart resonance experiences, I can at least feel peace even though I don't know if I'm going to get it all back. And that was like the miracle.
Yeah.
With all this going on, I can still have this connection to myself. I can still feel peace. And I always remember that now that I'm have my, you know, fully functioning, whatever you want to call new normal. It's like I'm reminded of that. Yes, yes, you know, because we can get back into our head so easy, you know.
Uh-huh.
Forget that connection.
Wow.
Because we think we know so much.
Well, I just want you who are listening, I want you to realize that we're only scratching the surface of Jasmina's life. And so I want to really encourage people to read Mirror of My Soul, Sanctum of My Heart, Jasmina. Now you've translated all of this learning into helping others. So I would like you to take a few minutes to talk about the ways in which you can help others and how they best can get hold of you.
Okay. You can get a hold of me on my website, jasminaagrilloshare.com, and you can even purchase the book there. I have four different ebook versions. I offer the mini guidance sessions. You get a quick de-stress. You get in touch with your own intuition with my help, and you can solve any problem in your life, any kind of guidance that you need, as well as receive some light, healing light transference. The coaching programs I offer are resilience training, transform anxiety program, heart-based divorce recovery, our miracle heart, using the power of your heart, as I've been hinting at. That's a wonderful program. And another one called the cosmic heart resonance technique, which is a deep level a way to work with the power of your heart, and then energy healing. So those are all, you can have fun on the website. I do have a coupon waiting for you with the mini guidance sessions and the products, my guided meditation CDs, and the book that's in the store. And I highly encourage you to explore the website, and I'm very honored to be able to connect with you. We all have a unique heart connection and the gifts that we share with ourselves and for the world. So every single one of us is divinely connected and very special.
That's a nice thing to say. We're all divinely connected and very special.
Yes, yes. Yep. We just support each other. It goes around, comes around, you know.
Right, right. Well, it's amazing all the things that you have in your life story. And I just want you to know that I so enjoyed your book. I kept calling my
Thank
son
you.
Up and saying, you have to read this. You will like this. Because he's a very spiritually oriented person who's very tuned in to his intuition. And he's bringing the spiritual dimension to business, which I really like.
It's so important, so needed.
Yes. But it's funny, sort of like what you were talking about in your book too. He had a very successful business, and his heart started not being resonant with it anymore, and he had to give it up, and he's making a new one. Because it didn't fit for him anymore. And that's kind of part of what you have to be willing to do when you're living by your intuition and your heart, is to change as change comes to you, correct?
Yes, yes. They're willing to do that too. We have to live with so much uncertainty. We do anyway, but that's part of it, seems to be the path that we have to be able to accept that level of uncertainty and be have the flexibility to make those changes.
Mm. Well, I really enjoyed reading your book, Mirror of My Soul, Sanctum of My Heart. To me, it showed many ways that people can go deeply into themselves and connect with their soul and their multidimensional selves, which I'm really glad to hear they can also do with your more direct help also. So I've really enjoyed talking with you today, and I want to thank you for sharing your life with all of us so intimately, and just let you know that it was really great to travel with you through your tribulations and your alignments and your triumphs and your challenges, and I just want to thank you for putting all of that out there for us.
Oh, thank you, Eileen. You're very wise, a wise soul.
Why? Because
so
I said all
really,
that.
What? Oh, yes. It's like it's a real an honor for me to connect with you. And how can I get a link
To this show?
Yes.
Oh, well, you'll just go
to... I can promote it.
Just go to emotionalpro.com probably by tomorrow, and it will be available, and you can download it directly from there.
Okay, because I'll promote the show. I'm looking
right.
forward to it. Emotionalpro.com?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. So thank you so much for being with us here on Full Power Living today.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day of ease and fun.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck with that. You don't know what's going on in my life. Okay.
Oh, it's never a dull moment, huh? That's what
I'm
thinking.
Never. All right. So next week, listen to Full Power Living when I talk with consciousness researchers Dr. Elizabeth Carman and Dr. Neil Carman about the spiritual dimension of life before birth. I look forward to having you with us next Thursday, June the 11th at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. Robin Johnston of Fresh Talk Media has been our producer. Thank you very much, Robin. And for now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you to pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.